Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so glad you're here and I'm really excited for this week and next week where I'm sharing a little series talking about kids and yes, technology. The subject that comes up the most when you're talking to any other parent about raising kids today. And I know we're all looking for that magic number, some rule we can follow, something we can do to help set boundaries, give our kids that healthy relationship with their phones. Well, I'm really excited because both this week and next, we're going to take a slightly different approach as we talk about our own relationship with phones. Now, don't run away. There's no condemnation here. We get really practical and really honest. We're all in this together, but I think you're going to really enjoy these conversations. Today, I have Joey Odom with me. Joey was recommended by our good friend, Justin Whitmell, early, and I trust Justin, so I invited Joey on, and oh my goodness, I loved talking to him. He's super smart. I think you're going to like him too. He has a product I'll be linking to in show notes called the RO Box. RO means to notice, and I love that he's kind of turning things on their head as he gamifies the idea of getting away from our phones. So stay tuned. You're going to learn more about what I'm talking about, but it's really cool what he's all about. And his story is one that is really honest and vulnerable as well. So I think you're going to love this conversation. Because we're talking about technology this week and next, and because I care so much about you and equipping your kids with a healthy relationship with technology, I am opening up my Raising Tech Smart Kids mini course for the next 10 days. Now, this is a course I created a few years ago. It is short, but it's packed with the very best resources, a great interview. It's got some really helpful guidelines where I get specific with what experts recommend when it comes to kids and technology. So that will be linked to in show notes as well. So again, go over to monicaswanson.com/Joey-Odom, O-D-O-M. You're going to find show notes. I'm actually putting some great notes in from today's conversation because Joey gave so much good stuff and I wanted to take some notes for all of you. So find all of that over there. And now, before we dive into this conversation, I do want to make sure to tell you about our family's favorite math and science homeschool curriculum. So for those homeschoolers out there or some of you becoming homeschoolers, be sure to go to diveintomath.com. Check out Shoreman Math and the Dive Science classes. These are what my boys used that they would say best prepared them for their college journey, and they both studied math and science in college. Levi will be doing all the dive classes for his math and science starting next year, all through high school, so join him in that. One thing to note, if you do want to keep that door open for college, if your kids plan to take the SAT or ACT, just know that Shoreman Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. So if you're thinking about getting a tutor or some special practice, this is all you really need to prepare your kids. So again, go over to diveintomath.com, check it out. I think you're going to love what you find over there. All right, now without further ado, let's jump in as I share this conversation with Joey Odom about our relationship with our phones. I think you're going to be encouraged. Joey, welcome to the podcast.
Monica, it is so good to see you. Thank you very much for having me.
Goodness, this is a long time coming.
It's
been, yeah, months ago, Justin Whitmell Early, who I know my listeners love, emailed me specifically saying, you got to meet this guy, you got to have him on. So again, for anyone listening that knows and loves and trusts Justin, Joey's your man. So why don't you give a quick introduction? Tell us about yourself and your family.
Yeah, sure. Joey Odom, my wife and I, Kristen, I've almost been married 20 years. If she keeps me around for another few months, then we'll hit 20 in June.
Yay.
We have a son, Harrison, who is almost 16, a daughter, Gianna, who is 3 days away from being 14, and we live in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Wow. So cool. And we discovered all these like small world moments between us, people we have in our lives that somehow overlap, which is always makes my mind blow up a little bit. Well, tell me more about your kind of background professionally.
Sure.
And that'll lead us to our conversation.
Yeah. Monica, I was in commercial real estate for 15 years and I got a text out of the blue about 5 years ago that kind of upended everything. And it was from who is now my business partner, Heath Wilson. And he texted me about something that was, he didn't really know the, how close it was to my heart. We had known each other. We met in church. We had done Bible study together. But really, it was still a pretty random text to say, basically, hey, I'm finding myself on my phone a bunch and it's to the detriment of my family. Let's talk about it. And little did he know that about 5 years before, there was this kind of seminal moment for me that made a real imprint on me. And it was when my son Harrison, who I mentioned who is about 16 now, he was 5 at the time playing his first mm-hmm. soccer season. Mm-hmm. And everybody kind of has this on experience on a team. There's always the kid on the team who hasn't scored a goal. Like everybody scored except for that kid. And Harrison was that kid that season.
Aww.
He's just such a great boy, such a good athlete now. But soccer, we retired pretty quickly. But this one Saturday, and you know, everybody knows the feeling. You lug out the lawn chairs and you sit there and we can all acknowledge that sometimes kids' sports are just a little bit boring, and that's okay to say that.
Yes.
And it was boring until this magical moment arose, and it was kind of midway through the game. Harrison standing in front of the ball kind of comes to him. And I remember it, Monica, like it was a movie. Like it literally in my mind, I replay this scene in slow motion with the dramatic music. Harrison rears back his leg. He kicks it and the ball rolls into the back of the net for his very first soccer goal. And everybody on the sidelines and the coach, everybody cheers. Everybody went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this split second right after the goal and right before his coach picked him up where Harrison did something that I think all five-year-old boys would do in that moment is he mm-hmm. turned to the sideline to lock eyes with me, to connect me, to see the pride on my face, the smile on my face. And it was really, truly just this magical moment, except I missed it. See, when Harrison looked over to the sidelines, all he saw was the top of my head because I was looking down at my phone, lost in something. It could have been a group text. It could have been a work email. Who knows what it was? But all I know is I missed it. I think I still have bruises on my ribs from my wife's elbow saying, look up.
Yeah.
But it was that moment. It was this moment, Monica, where I said something's wrong. Like something with my relationship with this little square in my pocket, this little rectangle in my pocket, something's wrong. And I would love to say that everything got better at that moment.
Right.
It probably got better for, I realized, oh, I got to do something about this. It probably got better for a few days. And it just didn't. And then, when Heath's text came in that said, hey, let's do something about it. I bet you we can solve it for our families. And if we can solve it for our families, what if we could solve it for a lot of families? So we have been on that journey for the last 5 years.
Wow. Okay. So I think probably everybody listening could relate to that story and in one way or another. And as a homeschool mom, I know just last week, sometimes homeschooling puts me to sleep. My son's reading aloud and mom's sneaking a peek at her phone and he turns and he's like, Mom, why do you even sit with me if you're just going to look at your phone? So trust me, that hits hard. And I just appreciate that you have now decided to do something about it. Mm. I love that you heard from your friend, Heath, and that's such a, again, sorry to reflect again, but that's such a Justin Whitmore early thing to do. Like men talking about it. Like we need these men in our world who are going to really care about their families and want to make a difference. And so, tell us, take it from there. What happened after you got that call?
Well, we just sat down and I ideated him. He was the funny thing. We laugh about it. He was just telling me this cool idea he had. And I said, I kind of cut him off. I said, okay, I'm in. And he's like, well, you're in for what? I was like, well, I'm in. We're doing it. And he said, I didn't really ask you to do anything. It was just more, I was just talking about it. And I said, no, I'm in. So I basically tricked him into being his business partner with this great idea he had. And we just started ideating. We started talking to other people because we didn't really know at the time. We had a suspicion, but we didn't really know, hey, is this, you know, the same in other families? Other families feel this? And without any exception, it was absolutely, this is the biggest thing. And Heath was in a mentoring group at our church at the time where he was mentoring some guys, younger guys, then he was being mentored by others. And in both groups, the question was, what's the one thing that's holding you back right now from all the things that you want to do, all your intentions for your lives? And everybody, you know, I think it was 16 guys, 8 and 8, 16 people lifted up their phones and said, this is the thing. So we said, okay, we're onto something, which it's one thing to know that, but there's this certain sense, and Monica, I don't know if you feel this, it's almost, there's a certain sense of resignation when it comes to our phones.
100%.
Almost like this is kind of how things are, right? I mean, you don't even imagine like, okay, well, here we are in society and there's nothing we can do about it. So sounds like you feel that too. And we just kind of have had this thought in our minds. And by the way, it's playing out today. I mean, we're seeing it that just things can look different and we're starting to see the world look a little bit different. And so we had this idea that what if, and this is the dumbest idea ever, by the way, what if we didn't have our phones with us all the time? Ooh. Right. You know, what a dumb, obvious idea.
Right.
It's like if you're, you know, if someone's
caveman.
Yeah, exactly. So we tested this idea of let's put our phones, let's design like a little, you know, like first it was like a shoebox and then like a nice looking thing, a cigar box type of thing. And what if we put our phones in there and spend some time away from them? And that was pretty good. Like it worked out pretty well, but it was one of those things that kind of everybody has that available to them now in drawers and shoeboxes. So there needed to be another step. We said, well, what if we could quantify the amount of time that you spend away from your phone, that your phone was in that box? And so we started to do that on just a very basic app. And we found something amazing is when people would spend time away from their phone, they'd drop it in, it would connect to a Bluetooth beacon, and they would come back and they would do whatever they're doing. They'd come back and they'd see, hey, I was gone for 47 minutes. Almost to a person, everybody said, I feel really proud of myself. I feel really good that I did that, which in some ways you would think on the surface, well, what a basic thing. Are we really proud of ourselves for that? But we should. And that's because 91% of us, statistically 91% of us have our phones with us 24 hours a day. So when they are on us all the time. And so we've developed this relationship with our phones that's really, really interesting. And what's most interesting about it is when I just said to you, we've developed this relationship, you probably didn't think twice about that term. But we as a society have embraced this idea that we have a relationship with this inanimate object.
Wow.
Which is weird, right? We as grownups, we don't have relationships with objects. You know, I see my lawnmower about once a week for 9 months out of the year. We don't have a relationship. When things get boring in a conversation, I don't go sneak in a quick mow, right? Like this is, we don't have these relationships. But I will tell you who does have relationships with objects, and that's children. Children have relationships with objects. This is from Dr. Becky Kennedy. She says that these objects are called transitional objects. So a transitional object is something like a blankie or a teddy bear or a doll or something. And what those transitional objects, what they serve for those children, they serve as a sense of security in the absence of their ultimate security, which is their parents. So when their parents are gone, they cling to this thing that transitions them into a feeling of security.
Wow.
And so it's almost as if we as grownups have reverted back to childhood and we built a relationship with a transitional object that makes us feel like we're secure, makes us feel like we have a relationship. But it's to the detriment of the relationships that are right in front of us, the security that's right in front of us, our families and our spouses and whatever, or even us reflecting in ourselves and a feeling we're having. So we've reverted back to this childhood state with transitional objects, but it goes kind of a step further when it comes to relationships with devices. When you think about any relationship, I think we think that there are three defining characteristics of any relationship with anything. It begins first with proximity. And then it's interaction, your levels of interaction, and then your dependence on that person. So proximity, interaction, dependence. So going back to this proximity, the reason why we have a relationship with our phones, one is they're with us all the time. 91% of us have our phones with us 24 hours a day. The interaction, when they are with us, we are interacting with them all the time. And you see the stats on the number of pickups, number of times we pick up our phone. And what's interesting about it, you know, when people, you and I kind of off air talked about this, people give these tips like, oh, you know, you should just silence your notifications, which not a bad idea, but 89% of our smartphone usage is self-initiated. It's not the notifications that are getting us. It's us getting ourselves. It's us initiating that. And when our phones are with us, we will interact with them. And then the third piece of it is this dependency. And this is where it gets a little bit tricky, because a much easier message is your smartphone's bad, get rid of it, get a flip phone. That's a lot more clear. It's a lot more understandable, but it doesn't really capture all the nuance behind this topic. We are dependent on our phones for a lot of legitimate things. Yeah. You as a homeschool mom absolutely need your phone to interact and engage. You know, moms, for the most part, I don't want to be like overly stereotypical. Moms run the home through their phones. We need our phones. We absolutely need our phones. However, in this whole process of developing, you know, a relationship based on proximity, interaction, dependence, what we've done is we've misprioritized. All of a sudden, that relationship with that gets in the way of our other relationships, our most important relationships all around us.
Yes. Wow. That's huge. And I think it maybe should make us understand a little bit more, give ourselves grace, like what's going on here and how this has all come to be. I want to hear a little bit more about what you found, because I know that part of this process was figuring out what the problem is, who has the problem. Let's talk about parents first and some of the findings when you looked into parents' use of phones.
Well, we are very firm believers, and I think we take a little bit of a different, slightly uncomfortable stance when it comes to this. It is really easy to blame a 15-year-old for being on their phone too much. It's really easy. But we all know where they learned that. We all know what's been normalized in our home. So the pattern in society that we have established is, we call this the three M's. So one is parents, and it begins with parents. We as parents have modeled a bad relationship with our phone. And actually, let me pause there when I say that. We're 16 years into this thing when it comes to smartphones. So parents none of this is condemning. This is me looking in a mirror, speaking to myself, right? Mm-hmm. We have not been discipled by a previous generation. Amen. We didn't have it. So we've not been discipled. So we have, again, this is the whole message here, is what a cool opportunity we have to disciple the people, you know, the people coming after us. So we've not had it modeled well to us. So we're learning on the fly, and it's great. And it's a cool opportunity for us to figure it all out. But what we've done is we've modeled a bad relationship with our phones. That's the first M. We give our kids a phone one day, and then they mimic what we've modeled to them. Mm-hmm. And then we do something that's absolutely crazy and tragic, is that we get mad at our kids for mimicking what we've modeled to them.
Oh, man.
How crazy is that, right? Instead, what if, and it's the thing, if we model, we can go model a good relationship, a healthy relationship with their phones that our kids will mimic. And then we can make magic and make memories and any other cool M that you can think of. You can do a lot of cool things when we model that good relationship. And so we are firm believers that it begins with us, that our kids are noticing all the time. And our kids they're being developed, and they're noticing, and their brains are wiring in their neuroplasticity. And they are learning how to adapt to the environment around them.
So, I love that. I'm going to hop in real quick there, because I love the three M's. And I think that anyone who has listened to my podcast or read my books knows in parenting, modeling is about the most important thing. Mm. Kids are more likely to do what we do than what we say. So I love that you bring that up. But I also love that you gave the second option to the three M's, because I think one of the most powerful things we can do as parents in any area of parenting is to make a change, to own it, to humbly say, I've made a mistake. I want to do things different. And so I think it's just never too late in any area to model what it looks like, to own up to that, and then to make that change, and then to experience what happens when you do, which is making that magic. So I love that. But as far as parents go, you can go carry on with where you are.
Yeah, it's in. And by the way, you can tell I get a little fired up here. I get a little excited. So you just cut in whenever you need.
Oh, no, it's okay. We want to hear from you.
So we just have this core belief that it begins with parents. And by the way, in all of this, I think there's a tendency when we talk about phones, there's a tendency for all of us for defensiveness to arise in this. And that's okay. If you feel that, that's totally fine, because it's, and there's an easy way to say, to look at this and say like, oh, that's so reductive. There's all this stuff on social media, and I totally agree. And this is not a silver bullet. This may sound a little bit reductive. However, there is no question that it is the core relationship with our phones that's impacting the core, the relationships around us. And that's really where we're focused as a company, is the relationships. There's nothing inspirational. Mm-hmm. There's nothing motivational. Frankly, there's no point to just putting down your phone. There's nothing. There is a point to living life on the other side of your phone. There is a real point to go living a flourishing relationship. And we all know that these are the things, this is the biggest way that it can subvert our greatest intentions. You think about all the things that people go through to build a family, you know, whether it's IVF or whether it's adoption or whether it's, you know, through natural childbirth or whatever it is, that there's a lot that goes into that. Yet when we have those families, Proverbs 14:1 says this, basically says what, and it says a wise woman builds her house, mm-hmm. and a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Mm-hmm. So you think about all of us, we build this house with our hands. Mm-hmm. We build our house with our prayer and our blood and sweat, tears and everything. And then we allow this thing to begin to tear it down. So we begin to tear it down with our own hands. And here's the cool thing. It's not inevitable and it's not too late. I love that you said it's not too late, because it is never too late to do that. So we're firm believers that this begins with parents and that kids will follow, because our kids notice everything that we're doing. And we can begin. What's cool about it, when your kids are young, the stakes are high, but the pain is low, right? When they get older, the pain, the stakes remain equally high, but the pain increases gradually as they get older. Mm-hmm. But again, it's never too late to begin to implement something. And the earlier, the better. But second best to that is right now.
Oh, that's so good.
It's back to school season and life is busy, but you can fuel up your whole family with Factors. No prep, no mess meals can meet your wellness goals thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factors fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in, get this, just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. You can crush your wellness goals this month with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. Make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. Head over to factormeals.com/Swanson50 and use code Swanson50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code Swanson50 at factormeals.com/Swanson50, and you're going to get your 50% off your first box and 20% off next month while your subscription is active. I hope you love it. Let me know how it goes.
Hey guys, I hope you're enjoying this conversation. I just want to pause real quick to tell you about something very cool now available over at the Christian Parenting website. Okay, so there is the cutest little prayer journal. I'm looking at mine in front of me. It is called Marked by Prayer, and it is a weekly prayer journal for parents, and it will guide you through praying for your kids every week of the school year. Each week presents a new topic to journal and pray about. Topics include things like generosity, self-discipline, salvation, identity, godly friendships, and more. These are all the things we want our kids to be marked by, attributes that we want them to be marked by. Well, we are guided to pray for these things. And then there's a little section for journaling, some suggested scriptures. You guys, it's really, really good. So you can get your copy over at the website, cpgive.org. Again, the letter CP is in Christian Parenting, give.org. Request your school year prayer journal, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. And then something fun to go with that. If you want to listen to a podcast that is going through these guided prayers and a reflection, Pardon the Mess podcast each Monday is going to be doing that. Now, Pardon the Mess is an awesome podcast. It was Christian Parenting's like OG, their original podcast before the rest of us joined. And it's so good anyways. But on Mondays, they're going to be taking you through the guided prayer and reflection from this prayer journal. So definitely tune in to Pardon the Mess on Mondays. I think it's going to be so good. I can't wait for that. All right, friends, now we'll get back to today's conversation. I hope you enjoy. Okay, so before we got on, I mentioned my kids' ages and how I've told the story in my writing that my first three sons you know, my oldest is 24 now. So certainly they had some technology growing up, but there was a radical difference in the, what their childhood looked like in those early years.
Yeah.
You know, we had some internet, but I barely used it. I didn't, you know, there were no social media, no smartphones. And so they really just had this natural childhood, more like what I remember, where they were outside a lot, where they were creative, where they built things out of boxes. Now I have this 13-year-old who, from the time he was born, I was taking smartphone photos of him in the hospital.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And he's seen this phone in front of my face. And so I've seen such a difference. And I've felt it, and I've struggled, and I, you know, do my best to set boundaries and make good choices. But sometimes it can just feel so like there's not something objective you can do. And that's where I love that you offer a really objective, practical. People are like, give me a practice. How many hours? How much? You know, everyone wants something they can actually do. And sometimes it's hard to come up with that. So I love that you came up with something practical. And I also love that what you shared, and this is where I want to go back now to the solution, is that it kind of rewards and celebrates the positive side. So often I tell people when they ask what our rules are on technology, I'm like, honestly, I try to just focus so much on all the good stuff our kids can do unlimited, you know, run around, climb a mountain, jump in the ocean, read a book, build Legos. There's so much you can do that I will not even put a cap on, like unlimited. And so let's save technology for those leftover moments, you know, maybe in the margin. But even that can be kind of a loosey-goosey kind of like, well, what does that look like? And so I love that what you're talking about actually has that positive spin where there's a reward, or I'm guessing the dopamine receptors, whatever happens when we see likes and follows on social media, when you see, oh, my time went up, that I wasn't on my phone, hopefully that's doing something to us, right? That's giving us that feeling of success or reward.
Absolutely. And it's worth saying here, Monica, that my goal here today, or anytime we talk about this, is not in any way to sell a product. It really we even start getting a little bit uncomfortable even talking about the product, because what we want, our company is called RO, and the term RO means to notice. I want people to live a lifestyle of notice, whether you ever buy a product, subscribe, you know, remember with RO, that is the least of my concerns. So I want to make sure the listener knows that. So in telling you what it is, the premise is, begins with the idea that our relationship with our phone is a habit, not an addiction, which is controversial, which a lot of people could argue that. A lot of smart people could argue that. But the truth is, a very, 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 very small segment of the population is actually addicted to their phones. Now, there are addictive characteristics to it, absolutely. There are addictive characteristics to the algorithms on social media. But our phone relationship, we argue, we approach from the perspective of a habit, not an addiction.
And I like that.
Here's why that's so important, is when you have an addiction, there are two things you do immediately. You say, I'm completely powerless, and I have to abstain from this thing forever. Alcoholics don't have one drink a day. Alcoholics have zero drinks ever. When you look at this, and the other thing, when we say that, and you hear people say this, and they talk about, it's almost back to the resignation comment. When you say like, oh, I'm so addicted to my phone, you almost kind of half laugh about it. In doing so, you're kind of casually excusing yourself for your relationship with your phone. Like, oh, nothing I can do about it. Versus when you have, instead of saying I'm powerless and I have to abstain from it, we're saying, no, you have agency over this. You have absolute agency over it, and it's from a set of habits. And secondly, you don't have to abstain from it. You just have to build a different relationship. So the platform of RO is based on that habit loop, which, as Charles Duhigg defines it, begins with a cue, leads to a routine, crescendos in a reward. So the cue, we have a beautiful, if you're watching on video over my right shoulder here, this is the RO box. It's a beautiful home decor piece, a box whose whole design is to hold your phones. It has chargers, it's tech packed, so that when you drop your phone in the RO box, it automatically connects to an app that begins to quantify and measure the amount of time that you're away from your phone. So when you put it in there, it's out of sight. Dr. Maxie Heitmeyer at the London School of Economics, who's a thought leader on this, he says the only way to reduce your screen time is for it to be out of sight and away from your body. Out of sight, away from your body. So this is what the RO box does. It holds it. to your point, it's not restrictive. It doesn't lock. It doesn't shut down functionality. It's actually a hopeful invitation. If it could speak, it would say, "Hey, Monica, it looks like you're doing a reading lesson. Can I hold your phone so you can be fully present? Hey, it looks, ooh, Swanson family dinner time. Great. Hey, can I hold y'all's phones? Is that okay? So you can be focused on each other." So that's leading to the routine of putting down your phone. And then the reward is all of the gamified experience of being away from your phone. We are gamifying the experience of being away from your phone. We have an amazing product team that's frankly using all of the things that the social media companies are doing to keep us on our phones. We're trying to do that to keep us off our phones.
So cool.
But what's cool about it, what's really amazing about it is the real reward is not looking down and seeing that you spent 47 minutes away from your phone. The real reward is what was filled within those 47 minutes when you were away from your phone, what you were doing. And that could be just you reflecting. That could be you saying, "Something feels funny inside. Let me figure out what the heck is going on with me."
Oh, yeah.
It could be that moment of just like eye contact with my daughter the other day, who I mentioned, Gianna, who's almost 14. We're doing highs and lows at dinner, and she started talking about it. I physically turned towards, again, the term RO means to notice or turn towards, literally physically turned towards her. And it was so notable to her. She stopped her highs. She goes, "Well, thank you for listening to me, Dad." And so that posture, and holy crap, what does that do for a teenage girl's sense of value when Dad turns towards her, when Mom turns towards her? And what I love, Monica, and I can't say this enough to people who are listening, that opportunity is available to each of us every single day. That opportunity to turn towards, that opportunity to notice, and then in doing so, build that intimacy. We're in an intimacy crisis right now, and I believe that intimacy is being eroded by every glance, and this is going to be me demonizing phone. I don't mean it. Every glance we take at our phone when someone else is trying to connect with us, that is eroding our intimacy. And just try this. And I have four steps on how we can change a relationship with their phone, but just try this and see what happens. People will notice that you're noticing them in the same way that they notice when you're not noticing them. It is the most powerful, amazing, hopeful opportunity that any of us who are in any kind of relationship have available to us today.
Wow. Drop the mic.
Come on.
That is so powerful. And I think that because it's so common and normal for everyone to have their phone, that when you don't, people will appreciate it, notice it all the more. You'll be someone will think of as, I can talk to him, I can talk to her, because they're actually available emotionally. Yeah. They can look in my eyes and notice me. So good. Okay, so I want you to share those four steps. But first, let's talk a little bit about kids, because I know you've done research, and we do have problems with our kids today: anxiety, depression. You've made some connections between phones. They're pretty clear, I think. I don't think anyone can argue, but talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, people who are a lot smarter than I am are putting out a lot of studies. And again, we're now figuring it out. I mean, the fact that, you know, that happiness is at an all-time high correlates to about 16 years ago now, when phones started becoming ubiquitous. And so you begin having a generation of kids with all of us. We're just so wired for connection. We're so wired for eye contact. And so you have a generation of kids whose parents have looked at screens instead of their eyes. And that's a little tough to hear. And again, I know that might sound a little bit reductive, but that is true. And again, there have been TVs in the past. We understand all of this. This is a TV that's with us 24 hours a day that we're stealing glances at, that are just kind of nibbling away. And I believe not for bad intentions, it's just we haven't known what to do with it yet. And the cool thing is we do know what to do with it now. And the Surgeon General is, you know, the U.S. has called this a national health crisis, that loneliness is an epidemic, that it starts with our screens. And so we kind of know it. And what's really neat about this, when you think about this almost as with parallels with smoking, how smoking, we all knew it was bad for us. And then we found out, it's also bad for our kids. Mm-hmm. Okay, now things will change. And I love this stat that I've stumbled upon, is that since we began tracking adult smoking, smoking has declined by 78%.
Wow.
Since we began tracking kids smoking in kids, it's down 78%. The exact same amount, the exact same percent decrease from adult smoking and kids smoking. So that's telling us, okay, they are learning it. It is normalizing it. It is going to perpetuate, and it's going to pass on. And so we have this opportunity now that we know the detriment that it's having on our kids. we know, I mean, think about all the stuff we do for our kids, violin lessons and language lessons and private sports lessons and all this stuff. Yet we're leaving to chance the thing that has the highest potential to derail them in very, you know, certainly some nefarious ways, some terrible ways, all the, you know, bad stuff you can get on there. But even just from, how about just from a basic level? How about from a sleep perspective? Think about, I mean, we all know the most effective form of torture still after thousands and, you know, whatever, how many years of humanity, the most effective form of torture is sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
It's still just deprive people of sleep. They won't be able to think cognitively. Nothing will work well. Yet our kids are suffering from just a lack of sleep. Just that practically alone, we know the effect that it's having on it. We know, and we could throw all the stats at you. We also just know it by looking around. We all know it. We all feel it. We all know what it is. And again, I'll be a broken record and say it again. We just don't have to be resigned to it. It doesn't have to look this way. It's how it looks right now, but there's no question this can look different. I know that.
Awesome.
And here's why I know this, because I'm the chief of sinners. You're talking to him. I was so bad, Monica, that I had to quit a career of 15 years and start a company to fix it. That's how bad I am. And the cool thing is nobody out there listening has to start another company. We got it. Right. Don't worry.
I love that. But I'd love to hear since it was a few years between your first kind of, we can call it a wake up call. Yeah. And then you started this company, you made some radical choices for yourself and your family. Can you just share some of the changes you've seen maybe in yourself and your family?
Yes. One of my favorite stories, it's my daughter, Gianna, who I've mentioned. This was close to 5 years ago now. So we've been on this journey for about five and a half, close to 6 years. So about 5 years ago, we watched a movie together, normal movie, Friday night. And at the end of it, she turns to me and she said, "Daddy, did you know that's the first time we watched a movie and you haven't had your phone?" She wasn't punishing me. She wasn't praising me. She was making a statement of fact, period.
She had noticed all those times.
She had noticed every single one of those times.
Probably didn't think, oh, wow.
And she noticed the time I didn't. And that could feel maybe a little bit like a gut punch, but it actually got me happy. That felt like a reward. And I thought, I can't wait to watch another movie to do it again, to be her hero again. So I told her that story again about a month ago. We were driving and I said, "Oh, I told the story about when we watched the movie." And she laughed. Again, she's almost 14. She said, "That would be so weird if you had your phone during a movie now. How weird would that be?" So we have renormalized great behavior. Awesome. She's 9 years old. She's 14. I think that same reaction would happen at any age. So it is and here's what's neat too is, I still have struggles with it. I still have to remind myself. The RO box that we've been using for years, I still need it every single day. My phone right now, as we're talking this podcast, is in the RO box the room over. One, because I like to build up my time. I like to kind of hit the, you know, connect my rings, if you will.
Yeah.
But I need it when I get home because I know if it's on me, I am going to use it. I just am. That goes back to the principles of habit formation. James Clear in Atomic Habits says, basically, if you rely on your willpower all the time, if your environment's not conducive, then you're going to fail. Your willpower will give out. So in other words, we like to say that environment eats willpower's lunch every single day of the week. Mm-hmm. So when your environment is conducive to your goals, then you don't have to then rely on willpower to achieve them. Because if you do, it's just going to give out.
Oh, that's huge. I love it. That's so helpful. And again, practical. We all need those, you know, I'm always happy when my 13-year-old, he's trying to get on my phone all the time. And I love it when I'm like, I have no idea where it is. I don't have it on me. Like I feel all proud but then I honestly don't know where it is. And then I search for it forever. So I love having an actual place and being able to kind of see your time and challenge yourself to grow in that area. Yeah. And so, so powerful. Well, for those listening who have never heard of this or want to check it out, can you just point us to where we can find out more and perhaps get started on our own, for our own family?
Absolutely. If this is useful for you, again, we'd love for you to go to goro.com. Just learn more. We're on in GoRO. Curious, just take a look there. We do believe there's hope here. We do believe this is the most effective way to do it, but please begin today, even with or without RO, it does not matter. Please put some physical distance between you and your phone. That's one of the, you know, I know we're wrapping up, but just on one of the things we say, the second of the four things.
We gotta go back. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're fine.
Do you mind? Sorry.
I'll do it quick, but I do think these are super important. The first one I alluded to earlier, which is recognize your own position of authority here, that the power is in your hands. So it's one is the first mindset shift that says, I can do this. And then thinking back to the three M's, to put a sister, parent, stand, your kids' relationship. So model a relationship you want them to mimic. That's number one, is understanding your power there. The second one is to start. And I know that sounds very basic, but I want you to start daily and small with time away from your phone, physically distant, time away from your phone. And daily is really important. That establish rhythms every single day with some time, and I want you to start very small, because this generally, if you're in the 91% club who always has their phone with them, it's going to feel a little bit uncomfortable to join the 9% club. You're jumping over to the other side. So begin very small, begin with a lot of grace for yourself. And if you miss a day, have some grace and jump back in. It doesn't matter. So starting small, I recommend 5 minutes a day and then just start a little bit. And then progress a little bit, make it, you know, you're building a muscle. So build a little bit more the next day. I would say the next kind of benchmark would be around 23 minutes, because 23 minutes is the amount of time that it takes to refocus after you've been distracted. That's study your mind. So go 5 minutes, build up to that 23 and celebrate it when you get there. And then try to hit an hour, because you'll find you're going to grow a lot more comfortable. You're going to start realizing that once in a lifetime call that you don't want to miss doesn't usually come in. And so you're going to find that you're more comfortable. And I would encourage people to do this whenever everybody you love is home with you. That's very uncomfortable. Like if it's, you don't want the school nurse to call and you don't have your phone, I get that. So start daily and start small, physical distance from your phone. The third one, and this is a rip off our friend Justin Early, is establish sacred times and sacred places away from your phone. Sacred times, sacred places. Sacred time could be the first 30 minutes after you wake up in the morning, no phone. The sacred place could be the kitchen table. It could be your child's bedroom. It could be the bathroom, whatever that is. Sacred place. These are just phones don't go here. Establishing those sacred times and sacred places. It could be the kitchen. It could be the living room couch. So you can watch a movie together, sharing one experience, even though it's on a screen. And then the last one is my favorite. And this is look for cues, is looking for cues for connection. And a cue we think is kind of a cry for connection from somebody else that's very often communicated subtly. So that could look something like this with my daughter. She could say, "Dad, I had a really hard day." That's one. That's a very overt cue. We're not going to get a lot of those. Sure. It could look more something like, "Oh, you know, Amy was so mean today." Okay. It could be my wife saying, you know, saying something very subtle like, "Oh, like you won't believe what happened at the gym today." Whatever that is. So those are cues, someone asking you for connection without making a request. And the response is this: "Oh, I got to hear this. Let me put my phone away." And then physically put your phone away. It's a really subtle thing you're doing by saying, "Oh, I got to hear this. Let me put my phone away." Really quiet. Go physically do it. And what that does is it creates this atmosphere, and it puts them on alert that you are fully there with them. And the real message you're saying to them is, "Hey, this phone right here, on this phone, theoretically, 8 billion people in the world could reach me. And you're more important than every single one of those people." So imagine what that does for a 13-year-old girl. Imagine what that does for a marriage. Imagine what that does for your kids and your sons and all your relationships that you care so much about. So that fourth one is look for cues all around you for connection. And when you find them, the quick line, "Oh, I got to hear this. Let me put my phone down."
So good. And we can all do it.
We all have the ruby red slippers on. We can all click our heels. It's all available to each one of us today. And again, it may sound reductive, but it's available to all of us. And I believe these four things, and there are a bunch of others, and you should do all those too. But these four things, if you start this, do this for 30 days, I promise you it will change your relationships.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that those relationships in the family, also you mentioned in the sacred times and places, when I wake up and do my devotions in the morning, how often I'm distracted and I'm like, "Man, I'm getting ripped off from my time with the Lord because of this stupid phone." So I think sacred times and places, I'll put those four steps in the show notes for sure. I'll also put links to where people can find and follow you. You also have a podcast.
We do. Yes. It is very creatively called the RO Podcast. And it's conversations. It is conversations just with people who are living intentionally, experts in intentionality. And it's to encourage you. You don't get a hard sales pitch ever from us. That's not what it's about. It's about enhancing your life and helping you go out and walk with confidence and living intentionally.
So good. Well, you've done an important work, so I don't think you should hold back on sharing what you've done, but I'll make sure to have images and links to all of that. But thank you. I appreciate you. So glad we got to meet you and hear a little bit of your story. And I'm sure people might have some follow-up questions, so I'll send them your way.
Thank you so much, Monica. Great talking to you.
You too. Aloha. All right, friends, I hope you loved that conversation. And again, I took some extra notes for you. So be sure to go over to monicaswanson.com/Joey-Odom. Check it all out. Also, be sure to check the link there to the Raising Tech Smart Kids mini course on sale for the next 10 days. Short and sweet, everything you need and nothing that you don't. Okay, so thanks for being here. Please do spread the word. We've got another amazing episode next week with best-selling author Erin Lochner, who is also talking about technology and again has a really cool perspective that I think will encourage and inspire you. So hope you can come back next week for that one and enjoy your summertime, friends. You know it's going to go by quick. So have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.